Luke 23 and the verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Poor, darkened sinners, they know not what they do. I want to consider tonight that that is true of all sinners. That is true of you and me. When we sin, we don't really know what we do. We don't know what we do. It's true of each one of us. It's true of you before conversion. It's even true, in a sense, in a different respect, of a Christian who is saved and knows the Lord. Even when a Christian sins, in some respects it can be said he doesn't know what he does. And the Lord, in a sense, can still make this plea. He knows not what he does. But it was especially true that day, whenever they took him by their wicked hands and crucified him. We must never forget the circumstances in which Christ speaks this. What they do, what did they do? They cried, crucify him. It's true of them, and they hammered the nails in, they mocked him. And so it's true of all sinners. It's true especially that day. But what the Lord is emphasizing is not only what they do, but this aspect of it, they don't know. They don't really comprehend what it is that they do. And that's what the Lord is stressing here. We don't know what we do when we sin. Sinners have a great ignorance in their hearts and minds. And the Lord sees that. He sees a sad, dark ignorance that overshadows sinners, and they're to be pitied because of what they, in that state of darkness and ignorance, of what they are doing and what they are heading towards. The Lord Jesus sees these sinners as in gross darkness then. He's like a physician who sees the sick and has pity. No matter about what has caused that sickness, even through their own fault, he just sees the sickness, not so much the sins that even have led to that sickness. You know, just like the doctor, the drug addict comes in, he doesn't see what the drugs he's been taking, and he doesn't think so much of the lifestyle, he just pities him, the condition that he's in, and he just needs help now. And that's the Lord Jesus, the physician of the sick and the light of the world to them in darkness. And he just pities them the way that they are now. And what they do in darkness, and they don't really see at all, and they don't really know, comprehend what they're doing. Now, I have to explain this, because this ignorance is not a total ignorance. I mean, I don't want you to think that it's a total ignorance and they are inexcusable. That's not what the Lord is saying. It's not a total ignorance. And he's not saying they're inexcusable. Their sins, forgive them. It's still sins. No matter about the ignorance, it's still wickedness and great iniquity. No matter about the ignorance. So the Lord is not excusing them, not covering up the sin in that regard. He's not talking about total ignorance. It's relative ignorance. And so clearly, in some respects, they did know. They did know what they did, in some respects. They knew that they are putting a man to death who doesn't deserve to die. They knew that much. They knew what they meant when they cried out, crucify him, crucify him. Whenever Pontius Pilate would have delivered him and let him go, and they changed Pilate's mind and put him under the pressure, they knew what they did. They knew very well what they did on that occasion. They knew what they did whenever they were filled with hatred in their hearts. Their consciences are still most uneasy, because to some degree they know what they did. They know that they've done wrong. And so sinners are never totally ignorant so as to be inexcusable. Israel was not totally ignorant, and they must have known something of Jesus through his miracles, through his kind nature that they witnessed and was so evident, and in the stories that they heard, they knew something of his harmlessness, and so they were not ignorant of their sin completely. Nobody's ignorant of their sin completely. But what Jesus means is they were ignorant of the enormity of sin. That's what they're ignorant of. Its vastness, its depth, its infinite nature as an offense against an infinite holy God. They can't comprehend the darkness of sin and iniquity. They just don't know. If they'd known, they wouldn't have done it. And so they did not know how great the sin was. They did not appreciate the full extent of the wickedness of their evil actions. That was the problem. And Jesus saw that. They didn't know. They didn't comprehend. And it's the same problem always when men sin. No matter what sin they commit, they don't see its enormity. Even when it seems a small sin, they don't see its enormity. And that's true of all sinners, and it's true of saints too. I don't think any of us really appreciate the enormity of sin, but Jesus does. He does. I think it might even be said that if a man saw the enormity of sin, he wouldn't sin at all. Now, I know that's a very deep and even maybe a very controversial statement that I've just made there. If men could see clearly as in the full light, they wouldn't sin. I know that's a very controversial statement and it's one that needs deep thought, but I dare to make it. If you really saw, you couldn't sin at all. If you could see it all so clearly, the way holy angels see it, the way the Lord sees it. And the more we see as Christians, the less we will sin. The less we will sin. I mean, if Eve saw, would she have sinned? I don't think so. But you see, Eve was deceived. The wool was pulled over Eve's eyes. Eve was brought into darkness by the serpent. And it was only then that he was able to get her to sin. He must first deceive her before she sins. He must first darken her before she will take the forbidden fruit. But if she had have continued to see and not allowed the devil to darken her, she would not have sinned. Darkness is needed to make creatures sin. And so Eve, if she had seen better, she would not have sinned. But she didn't see its enormity. She didn't see its extent. She didn't realize what she was bringing not only upon herself, but also upon her husband and upon her seed, her posterity, her descendants. And so we're all the same, even as Christians. Even the holiest saints. Now, some see sin's enormity better than others, but no sinner or saint in this world sees the full enormity of sin, which is why we all still sin. So, do we see how darkened sinners, how really they are darkened? The Lord does. He sees them as blind. He sees them as blinded by the God of this world. He sees them as held captive in the kingdom of darkness. Ignorance. That's the devil's device. Blinding them in ignorance. So they don't see the glories of a Savior, the holiness of God, the enormity of sin, and its terrible end. All of that is removed from the understanding of man so that they are held in ignorance. And in ignorance they commit enormous sins. And the Lord sees all of that. The Lord makes that a plea before his Father. They really don't know what they do. Now, the ignorance is willful. He that hateth his brother is in darkness. Otherwise, he couldn't hate his brother if he wasn't in darkness. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his mind. He doesn't know where he's going. He doesn't know where this hatred of his brother is going to lead him, because he's in darkness and it's blinded his mind. And this ignorance is leading him on a dangerous path he doesn't know. Ignorance, let me tell you, in the Christian life is not bliss. It's not bliss at all, it's darkness. They know not, the psalmist says, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. And all the foundations of the earth are out of course because of it. Sinners in darkness. And Christ is crucified because sinners are in darkness. So it's true. It's real what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. Now, let's begin to be a little more specific here. What can we say that they are especially ignorant about? What do they not know? What is it in particular that they did not know whenever they were crucifying Jesus of Nazareth? Let me suggest several. Clearly, they were ignorant of the Father. They were ignorant of God when they did that. Father, forgive them, for they know not. And we could add, as an interpretation of what the Lord is saying here, they know not thee. They know not thee. They're ignorant of thee, Father. Clearly, they do not know God as the Father. Because if they knew him as the Father, they would know the Son. To know the Father is to know the Son. And to know the Son is to know the Father. But they're crucifying the Son because they know not his Father. And so the Lord Jesus lets them hear him pray, Father. They're going to know now he has a Father, but they still don't believe him, even when he prays it. Because they don't know that God as Father. They're ignorant of him as Father. If they had known, they wouldn't have crucified Christ. If they knew John 3 verse 16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. If they knew John 3 verse 16, would they have crucified him? No, they couldn't. If they had really known that, if they had really known and believed what that meant, if they had heard that voice from heaven, that on a number of occasions spoke, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. But what do? They crucify him. Why? Because they were ignorant of that voice. Or if they heard that voice, they didn't believe it. They were willfully remaining ignorant. They continued on not knowing. They didn't know. The Lord says, they know not me. Sinners proceed from evil to evil, Jeremiah says, because they do not know the Lord. Remember how Jesus says the time will come to the saints in the upper room. He told them the time will come that they'll do bad things to you like they've done to me. And all of those bad things they will do because they know not the Father, neither me. They know not the Father. That's why they'll put you out of the synagogues. That's why they'll crucify you upside down, Peter. That's why they'll remove your head in the execution block, because they know not the Father. They know not thee. And even God's people, at times, the Lord has to come to them and say, as in Jeremiah, my people are foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children. They have none understanding. They're wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. They have not known me. Ignorance of God leads to sin. And this is life eternal, that they may know God and thy Son Jesus Christ. So they're ignorant of the Father, or they wouldn't have crucified his Son. Wouldn't have dared on that. But then they're also ignorant of the Son as well, aren't they? They don't know who he is, really. They have not known the Father, Jesus says, neither have they known me. Now, he that knows me knows the Father. He that has seen me has seen the Father, if you're in the light. But they're in the darkness, so they only see a man. They don't really see Christ, who he is. They don't see that. They just see the shell of humanity and Jesus of Nazareth. They can't seem to comprehend who he is. And because they don't know who he is, they dare to take him with their unholy hands and crucify him. But if they really knew who he was, they wouldn't dare to take him with their unholy hands and crucify him. It's because they don't know him. And Paul seems to have this in mind, and I think he could not be writing this without his knowledge of the prayer of Jesus on the cross, which none of the princes of this world knew. Paul says, had they known that he was the Lord of glory, he very firmly states this, they would not have dared crucify him. They wouldn't have sinned if they knew who he was. They wouldn't have hammered the nails into his hands if they knew who he was. If they saw the Lord of glory, they wouldn't have hammered the nails. They wouldn't even lifted the hammer. They wouldn't have dared, cried out, crucify him, crucify him, if they had known it was the Lord of glory. In fact, one of the Puritans has said, if they had known who he was, they probably would have preferred to be crucified themselves than to dare crucify him. And I think that's true. They don't know who I am. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. They don't know what they're doing to me and who I am, your only begotten Son, the Lord of glory. They can't comprehend the enormity of the crime in the crucifixion of the Son of God. And so the Lord really clearly sees through it. And to the bottom of it, the ignorance, they just see a carpenter of Nazareth, at the best, a rabbi from Galilee. We will not have this man to reign over us. That's all they see, just a mere man, one from Galilee. Oh, if they had known he was the Lord of glory, the creator of the ends of the earth, the giver of life eternal to sinners, the one in whom are found all the riches of saving grace, they would not dare to have crucified him. It was ignorance. It was blindness and darkness that they were in. We read that they killed the Prince of Life. Brethren, I wot that through ignorance she did it, as did also your rulers. Robert Murray McShane puts it, I once was a stranger to grace and to God. I knew not my danger and felt not my load. I didn't know. It was in the scriptures, of course. They were inexcusable. It was in the scriptures. It was in the word of God. But they didn't listen to the voice of God. They didn't listen to the Spirit. They were not enlightened. They were still blinded. They had not their eyes opened by the Father at this time. He hid them these things from the wise and prudent, though he had revealed it unto the babes, Peter and James and John and others of the apostles, he held it from the prudent so that they crucified him in their darkness and ignorance. And so, if they had seen what they were really doing, would they dare do it? Would they not have trembled? Would they not have begged Pilate to release him? And you must remember this, congregation. All of you and all of us, whenever we deal with the world, whenever the world persecutes us and whenever the world does wickedly, how do you think? How do you feel? How do you pray about that? Do you hate them? Do you want fire to come down out of heaven and devour them? Do you want hell to open up and to swallow them up? Or does your heart echo with Jesus? They don't know what they do whenever they persecute you. Whenever they do those vile things that you know that they do, do you say that they don't know what they do? They're in darkness. They don't know the Lord. They don't know the Father. They don't know the Son. They're in bondage and in blindness. And they're more to be pitied. That's how the Lord Jesus looks at it, according to this dying word, which he is speaking to us as a prophet for our edification, so that we will be like him and think like he thinks, and more importantly, that we feel as he feels. So we are to feel pity for the darkest sinners. They don't know what they do. They're so ignorant. You remember Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, how he was so bad to Christians, how he was bad to the Son of God, how he blasphemed that holy name and was most cruel to the followers of Jesus and persecuted the body of Christ. But he obtained mercy. And God pitied him. Now, I don't know that the church felt much pity for him. But the Lord pitied him. Remember, Paul said, I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious. I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly, in unbelief, in darkness and blindness. And God took that into account. I did it ignorantly. And we should therefore pity sinners. But of course, they have a Bible and they should know, and they get witness to, and they should know, and the gospel shines upon them and they ought to know, and they get calendars and tracts and words and witness, and all of this is true. But they're blind, and they are blinded. And that brings us on to a third thing. They are ignorant of the harm that they are doing to their eternal souls. They don't know that. I mean, would anybody just jump into hell? And if you could see and you were fully aware and you saw what sin led to, you wouldn't sin. Nobody would jump into hell if they could see it. But sinners do, by the way of sin, because they're blind. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know they're on the broad road that leads to destruction. They don't know where the enormity of this crime shall bring them. They don't know the weeping and the wailing and the gnashing of teeth that lies before them. They don't know that. They're blind. They know not that they're walking over the edge. They know not that the end is the lake of fire. We heard the words of John Newton tonight. and evil long I took delight. The verse is not included in our hymn book, I noticed. But he goes on to say in that poetry, alas, I know not what I did. That's what the old slave trader said. That's what the old blasphemer said. That's what the old rascal who lived in many, many sins said. I did not know what I did. Sinners, when they put off Christ and refuse to come to him and don't receive him, they don't know what they do. When they hurt and slight him and reject him, they don't know what they do. And yet he is long-suffering and patient still, and hath pity. And so if any have put off Christ long time, there's still mercy, because he still has pity for you, and you can come. Some just quick points of application in closing. Do you see how terrible darkness and spiritual blindness is? It's an awful thing. Do you see how dangerous it is not to have the light? What a man can do in it, what vile wickedness he can commit in it, and not be disturbed, and not be convicted. A state of darkness is a terrible state. How terrible is the darkness of sinners. And so we should thank God for the light of the word. And we should thank God if we feel disturbed at times about sin and we're restless about iniquity and it concerns us and bothers us and we get troubled about it. There's something of light there. We should thank God for that light. How we need the Bible, how we need preaching, how we need gospel proclamation, how we need the word of God to be proclaimed to us week after week, because we need the light to shine, that we do not sin in ignorance. We need the light of the word. And then thirdly, do you not see how serious the sins of Christians are? Because Christians know the Father, and Christians know the Son, and Christians know what they have been delivered from the wrath to come. Maybe they do not know the way that they should know, but they know in a way that darkened sinners do not know. And therefore, how more inexcusable it is when Christians sin, because they sin against light. And while I believe the Lord Jesus, even for saints, can say that they do not know what they do, then still it's not the same as it is said for sinners in darkness, because they do have light and they do know the Father and the Son, else they would not be Christians at all. So do you see how serious a thing it is whenever we as Christians sin? I think you ought to appreciate that tonight from what we're saying. If we sin, we do not do it in the darkness, but in the light and against light. And we must remember this, people of God. We must hate even the garment stained with sin. And we must beware of sinning against the light that we have. And what shall become of apostates? Let me say a thing about that. Let me warn you of apostasy. Let me warn you of leaving the faith, of leaving Jesus Christ, of turning against him in your mind and heart and going away from him altogether and turning your back against the Lord, professing Christians who have rejected Christ and turned away from him, who are in actual fact crucifying him afresh, trampling underfoot the blood of Christ, nailing him to the cross in a new open shame. What shall we say of such apostates? For them there is no more sacrifice for sins. There is no more intercession for sinners. Thus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Apostates know very well what they do when they turn away from the Son of God. It is impossible for those who were once enlightened, had some enlightenment, had some understanding, had some comprehension, and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and have been made partakers of the Holy Ghost, who have tasted the good word of God, and were in the light, and experiencing something of the light, even of the powers of the world to come. It's impossible if they shall fall away to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. It's impossible. There's no prayer like this for them, because they know what they do. For they do it in the light and not in the darkness. So do not dare anyone apostatize from Jesus Christ. Never leave the light of the world for any reason. Never turn away from Christ, you who profess his name. And so I'm not talking about falling into sin. I'm not talking about backsliding. I'm not talking about going off as a lost sheep. I'm talking about apostatizing from the gospel and turning against Christ and hammering the nails again into his hand and hanging him out to an open shame and an open rejection. I'm talking about apostatizing. So be warned against that, professing people of God. There's no prayer like this for you then. So don't turn away. And then, lastly, in intercession for the lost, saints can take up this prayer also. In praying for sinners, in praying for the heathen, in praying for Islamic nations, even persecuting powers, we can pray like this: Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. North Korea, they don't know what they do. Islamic nations who shut out the gospel and shut out the message and keep away Christians and persecute Christians, Father, they know not what they do. Send the gospel to them. Bring mercy to them. Bring to them the forgiveness of grace. And so we pray that for those who won't come in and who will not come to Christ. Lord, no matter how bad they are, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And thus the Church of Jesus Christ should pray for the worst of sinners, and make this the excuse thus to pray for them, for they do not know what they do. So may we pray like Jesus, as well as feel like him. And so may this word be blessed to your heart, and to the glory of your dear Saviour Jesus Christ. Let us pray.